If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Jerry's looking for the perfect quarterback. He's looking for the Roger Staubach to show up again. You know, he likes Dak Prescott, but he doesn't know whether this guy is ever going to get him to a Super Bowl before he dies.
Welcome back in, everybody, a Friday edition of Birds 365 following the NFL schedule release week. Welcome, joined now on Birds 365 by Hall of Fame selector Paul Domwich. Paul, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Hey, Dama. Scotty Scheffler's got a new tee time, so he's out of prison. I don't know if you saw that this morning. They got him in the orange jumpsuit and everything with his boy. Nice luck for the Louisville Police Department. But anyway, I digress. He's got a new tee time, so people are excited about that. We'll get to see him. Eagles schedule is more important here on Birds 365, Damo. Mm-hmm. First thoughts. I know you love the win and loss game. Who doesn't? But I like to look at themes. I always say, what jumped out at you when you saw this thing for the first time?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously we knew they were losing a home game, so that was a negative. The early bye, I'm not crazy about. It's not devastating, but you never like to have your bye that early. The biggest thing that concerns me is week 7 through 13. Five out of seven games on the road. Just like last year, a lot of it are their toughest games. But you know, they have enough of a soft schedule early and at the end to kind of make up for any problems they have with Cincinnati, Baltimore at all. So,
yeah, I didn't think, sorry, Xander, I didn't. Yeah, you went pretty long on that stretch because I kind of boiled it down to a Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Dallas, that 3-game stretch, which would be week 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
You bring up a good point. I didn't think about those 5 road games over that span that you were talking about, which starts October 13th, home game against the Browns, and then ends December 1st. That's a lot of road games right there. Yeah, that could wear on you.
Yeah, I mean, playing Baltimore on the road, you know, I don't think too many people are going to pencil that in as a win. And Cleveland's not going to be a picnic at home. I mean,
it's a good team, I think.
They're a team on the rise. So it's a tough schedule. I still think they'll finish 11-6, 12-5. You know, I think whether one or the other is going to depend on whether, you know, they sweep Washington and the Giants for the first time since 2019. Other than that, you know, I mean, they're obviously going to be in the playoffs. And all of this is if everybody stays healthy,
yeah,
all other teams stay healthy. I mean, it's always a matter of, of health with the ultimate outcome in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dama, four of their final five home games are at home. I look at that as a big advantage because, like I said to Johnny Mack yesterday, I want this team playing their best football going into the playoffs versus last year playing it at the front of the season. Do you view that as an advantage, as a good thing, or is it going to be tough coming off all those away games to start the season?
No, it's clearly an advantage because you're right. You want to get on a roll going in. They got the Cowboys, but they got them at home and Pittsburgh. So they got a couple of tough games there that's going to test their mettle. But there's no reason they can't sweep and go 5-0 in those last five games, regardless of what their record is at that point.
I think it was the first time since 1951 the Eagles put out something like that, some outrageous number that they're closing with four out of five at home. And then you look at the opponents as well. Mm-hmm. The toughest look like Pittsburgh and Dallas, obviously. But,
right.
The Steelers, for all the greatness of their history, six Super Bowls, three coaches, and 50-plus years now. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, which is unbelievable. They haven't won here since 1965, Dama. Now, they're not here a lot, but yeah. It's been 10 times. That's weird.
That's amazing.
Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah.
Yeah.
10 times in a row. They can't win in Philadelphia.
And I assume when Pittsburgh gets to the end again, they'll probably be looking at a 9-8 season. So,
yeah, they'll be over 500. That's a very good division. Unfortunately, because the Eagles play it, Joe Burrow's back with Cincinnati. They're going to be good. We just talked about Cleveland. Baltimore's one of the best teams in football, I think. Again,
yeah.
Got to readjust a little bit, obviously, as you do every year, but. They're a very good team. And then Pittsburgh, they're probably projected to be the last place team.
Yeah, they could be above 500 and still finish fourth in that division.
Yeah. So that's kind of tough, that division.
No, they really they obviously need to win at least two of four against the AFC North. Three out of four would be nice, but it's probably unrealistic because of, like you said, the caliber of that division.
Yeah.
Dama, any big games stand out to you? I'll tell you the one that stands out to me. I know the Baltimore, the Cincinnati, those are two tough AFC teams. But week 17, Dallas is coming to Philadelphia. I tell you what, if the Eagles somehow don't win that game, that's a real momentum-shifting type game right on the front of the playoffs. I think that – I don't want to say it's a must-win because we'll see how the season goes. But, boy, that's a momentum-shifting game versus obviously a big rival opponent. Eagles need to win that one week 17 at Dallas. Which game do you see as the most important or looks like it could be an important game?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a big game, but the first game against the Cowboys, I think, is big. It's week
10.
That's at
18. The Eagles have not been good. At Dallas recently.
And then they're, because they're right after that, they've got the short week game against Washington. And, so I think it would be very helpful to go into that Washington game with a win because you just don't know about Thursday night games, So And since that Dallas game is right in the, middle of that whole tough 5 out of 7 road games against really good teams, with the exception of the Giants. It would be helpful to win that one. I think that's going to be a big game. The one you were mentioning, Xander, I would assume right now, if you're assuming the Cowboys are going to stay with the Eagles through this, that'll probably get to end up being a night game. I think right now it's a 4:25 game.
Yeah, it's a 4:25. Yep.
So that would give them 6 primetime games this season.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Those 4:25 games, and the Eagles have a bunch of those.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. That's an indication that the networks for those particular games, because that's a national game. You have the 4 o'clock starts and the 4:25. So the 4:25 is more important.
Yeah.
And that's an indication to me that CBS has the first game, Fox has the second Cowboys game, that those guys fought for that. You know, the NFL, that's the thing about the NFL. They have so many television partners now, they got to keep them all happy. And they got to try to divvy out the desirous games for each network. So my point is, I think CBS will fight to keep that first one. And I think Fox will fight to keep that second one.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that shake out. I did, when I put reactions to my schedule out, Damo, I said, no Sunday night football against the Cowboys? That's crazy. That's almost a guarantee. That's like death taxes, Eagles, Cowboys,
right,
on Sunday night. And at least to start, it's not going to be that way. But I think 16 and a half is the number. The Eagles have lost six straight at AT&T Stadium, and they've lost by an average of 16-plus points. Not good.
No.
So they got to figure out something, how to do something down there.
Yeah.
So I kind of probably you're going to see a split, and it's probably going to be home and home. That's the way it usually goes with the Cowboys. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, the Commanders to me, Damo, are they're the team that's like, I don't know what they are. They can be really improved. Because I'm a big Jaden Daniels guy. I think he's going to be really difficult to deal with. But I don't know, first year.
Yeah.
But I could see them. You think about RG3 in his first year. People forget, because it went so bad, how good he was. Mm-hmm. And they made the playoffs, and he got hurt in the playoff game, and it was all downhill from there. But, you know, they could be good, Washington. Yeah. Sneaky good. I don't feel that way about the Giants, though.
No, I don't either.
Well, when you play a quarterback with Daniels' unique skills, I mean, he could win a game by himself if on a particular day. So you just never know. You know, I like their chances for improvement more than the Giants this year because of the Dan Quinn factor. And you know, I mean, I'm gonna be really interested to see Daniels with what's his name is their offensive coordinator.
Oh, Kingsbury. I think that's a good fit. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Spread offense.
Yeah. So fortunately for the Eagles, you know, they don't have to, you know, that defense can grow up a little bit before, you know, before it has to deal with somebody like that.
Yeah, part of me wonders if, I mean, I know the Eagles interviewed Cliff Kingsbury. Part of me wonders if he was a better fit for Jalen Hurts than Kellen Moore was. Obviously, they didn't go that direction, but now Cliff has a chance to work with Jaden Daniels, a similar style, a dual threat style quarterback. So it should be interesting to see how he progresses under him.
Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I wasn't the deal breaker that he wanted to hire the offensive staff and getting rid of Stoutland.
Yeah. I think the Eagles wanted Cliff. I think, you know, if he would have agreed to, you know, basically, Kellen got Doug Nussmeier, and he got another assistant, and that was it. And everybody, I think if Cliff agreed to that, he'd be here. Yeah. Eagles would never admit that, but I think that's the way they wanted to go. And it's interesting that he's in the same division with Brian Johnson, by the way, who's the assistant head coach and the passing game coordinator for Dan Quinn down there. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting storyline because, yeah, they seem to have wanted – they targeted Cliff first. It's hard to say they wanted him because if somebody walks in the building and says, I need this, I need that. Like back in the day, they wanted Adam Gase, but, you know.
Yeah.
Adam Gase thought he was Bill Belichick at the time. He was like, I want this, I want that. So it's hard to say that they were going to hire him, but I think if everything went perfectly, I think he'd be the Eagles offensive coordinator.
Yeah. You know, what also is interesting about Washington going up against the Eagles is, you know, the intel that Brian Johnson can bring to Quinn regarding how to deal with Jalen. I don't know that it's going to, you know, make the difference in, you know, how the outcome of the game. But he obviously knows Jalen's strengths and weaknesses very well.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be helpful. The Washington stuff is very interesting to me this year as it relates to the Eagles. Now, the Giants, as I mentioned, Brian Daboll. I mean, one of the reasons the Giants had that little spike a couple years ago in 2022, made the playoffs, actually got bounced, won a game, then they got destroyed by the Eagles, was Saquon Barkley. Now they don't even have Saquon Barkley. That looks like it. Unfortunately for Brian Daboll, who's a good friend of Nick Sirianni, he looks like a dead man walking. I do not like that situation with the New York Giants. Am I too pessimistic about the New York Giants, Dama?
It's funny, John. I mean, there aren't very many people that like Daniel Jones these days. I think he's better than a lot of people think, and I think he'll keep them afloat.
I think he's good. I think he's an average NFL quarterback. I think he's a legitimate starting quarterback. But, you know, everything else, they got the kid from what they have a receiver finally.
Yeah. They've increased their – I think they're fat, a little better at receiver. They don't have the guy that's averaged 5.2 yards per catch. We do.
Yeah, right.
So, I'm not expecting them to bounce back and make the playoffs like they did 2 years ago. I just think if I had to pick a team that might be a little better,
they did get Brian Burns defensively.
Yeah, he's a good player.
You add Brian Burns to Kayvon Thibodeau, who showed some signs. You might have a decent pass rush. But then they lose Wink Martindale because Daboll can't get along with him. Well, I don't know if I can blame Daboll because Wink doesn't get along with anybody, but that hurts them. I thought when Joe Shane and Brian Daboll first got there, I thought, wow, the Giants are making some good decisions. They're going the right way and all. It just no. They need Jerry Reese back.
Yeah.
It's been that long.
Yeah,
the New York Giants.
One guy that's not going to miss Wink is Hurts when they played the Giants.
That's true.
Wink brings the pressure, that's for sure. Dama, what do you make of the Dougie P Bowl versus the Jaguars? They're coming to town for a Sunday night football game. What's your perspective on, I guess, his tenure in Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence has been kind of a letdown for me. Yeah. He was one of the guys I thought was going to come in and adapt to the NFL very quickly with his skill set. Hasn't quite done it, kind of teetering on the fence. What do you think of the Jaguars?
Yeah, I mean, they were in my mind, one of the most disappointing teams in the league last year.
Yeah.
I expected some big things out of them. I expected, Trevor Lawrence finished the season before on a high note. I forget what his numbers were over the last 7-8 games in 2022, but they were really good as anybody in the league. And then last year happens. They've made some personnel improvements. I think Trevor Lawrence will be a lot better this year. They're a playoff team this year in my mind. Whether they can beat the Eagles, at the link, I don't know. We'll see. It's not going to be a game that, the Eagles can just expect to win by showing up, certainly. But we'll see.
Yeah,
last time
for him though. I mean, he's got to turn the corner this year, or they're probably going to move on from him.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go that. I think I was disappointed with Trevor Lawrence as well, but I still think he's. I don't think they're thinking about
better than most.
Yeah. We'll see if he's.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, if he has a terrible season, that could change things drastically. But, you know, they were up, Doug. They were up 14-0. And that was, remember, it was that terrible weather. It was like a monsoon game. Yeah. With Jacksonville, and Lawrence kind of fell apart. I think he had four turnovers.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always interesting when Doug comes back. I asked, but we had Les on earlier in the week, and you as well. I want to ask you, because you've been around for basically the entirety of the Jeffrey Lurie era, the sort of the evolution of his thoughts on international games to where we are now, giving up a home game. Oh, by the way, against an NFC playoff contender, the Green Bay Packers, who I think are going to be a really good team, an ascending team. I don't like that a bit, Damo. I get it from a business perspective. Don Smoletsky and Jeffrey Lurie of the league are happy. But from a pure football perspective, that's awful for the Eagles, I think.
I mean, Nick's won his, you know, the last three openers since he became head coach.
Yeah.
And I can't find anybody that's picking him to beat Green Bay, a team that finished strong in that first game on, you know, down there on a neutral field in South America. It's funny because, I mean, like you said, Jeffrey, for the longest time, seemed to be – I mean, they were one of the last teams to go to you know, he did not want to go to London and fought it and fought it and fought it until, you know. So, you know, this year they not only have to go to become the first team to play in South America, but like I said, the schedule isn't kind to them. You know, you open with that game, you open against – you know, you're playing that game on a, you know, on a, against a team that's, you know, coming off a season in which they played really well at the end. Would they win six of their last eight, I think, Green Bay?
Yeah. And they trounced the Cowboys on the road at eight. Yeah. You know, the Cowboys were undefeated at home and they just destroyed them.
I mean, I think they're at the link, what, two of their first seven games only?
Yeah, from September 6th to October 13th, there's one game, Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons in week two.
And they really only have four true home games for the first 13 weeks.
Yeah. Usually the league will do you a favor when you do something for them, like go play in South America. That ain't happening. You know, I mean, they're other than the fact that most of those early games are, aside from Green Bay, are against beatable teams. You know, the league did not do them any favors.
No, and it's easy to stop the sentiment, just win the game. But I think if they lose the game, and that's obviously a possibility, and there's no guarantee they would beat Green Bay at Lincoln Financial Field, but let's be honest, they'd be a little bit more of the favorite, and there'd be a better chance to beat them here than on a neutral field, in theory. If they lose that game, Damo, there's only 17 of these things.
Yeah.
Vic was talking about, Vic Fangio made the baseball analogy because he's a big baseball guy. If you think about it from a baseball perspective, back, and he said when they played 16, it's like 10 games. You lose one game, it's like losing 10 games in baseball.
Yeah.
And then you do it against an NFC opponent who you're probably going to be fighting for a playoff seeding down the road. I could see that being a story if they lose that game, because they'll probably lose playoff seeding to Green Bay with that loss.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big story, but boy, and now everybody's picking against the Eagles in it, and now that has me wondering, like, I don't know. When everybody goes one way, I tend to question whether that's the right way to go. Dama, we talked about the Cowboys matchups, but we didn't talk about what you think of them as a team. They haven't done much in the offseason. Dak Prescott's on an expiring contract. They haven't paid CeeDee Lamb. They haven't paid Micah Parsons. Are they going to take a step back this year?
I think record-wise, I think so. And, well, I'm not going to say they're going to go any further in the playoffs, because they never do. I look at this season in Dallas. I can see Mike McCarthy getting fired. I can see Dak leaving. I mean, I think this is
– Yeah, this could be where it unravels.
Yeah, I don't think we're looking at a team that's going to end up, 5-12. I think they'll probably finish – something like, 9-8. I think they're going to be a team that's going to have to reset after this season everywhere. I mean, Bill Belichick will probably be the coach in 2025.
Oh, could the Eagles be fighting the Cowboys for Bill Belichick?
Oh, man.
Who knows who the quarterback will be next year. So, I mean, they always can put the franchise tag on him, but I think he's allowed to have the tag on him, isn't he? That wasn't part of his last contract where they can't do that to him. So,
yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard if it is. Yeah. But yeah, they. I mean, they're not proactive. The Eagles. That's a big advantage. The Eagles, and I give Jeffrey Lurie credit for that. How he gets credit for it, and he's part of it as well. But, and you know, Dom, it goes back to Joe Banner. He's the one who sort of set the tone, and Andy Reid, and they're proactive when it comes to extending their foundational players, and the Cowboys wait, and they got to pay a tax for it. I don't get these owners.
Is there a human element to it, John, though? Like, you're Dak Prescott, you're Micah Parsons, you're CeeDee Lamb. You're the heartbeat of that football team, and none of you guys got your money. Meanwhile, over in Philadelphia, Devontae Smith is paid, A.J. Brown. I mean, Howie's extending everybody that even contributes to the team. Like, I wonder if there's a human element to it where it's like, I'm gonna wait for free agency because I know I'm gonna get $60 million or in Dak's case, or $30 million in CeeDee Lamb's case.
You know, Howie talked about it. He said it makes the players feel good. I asked AJ when AJ talked. AJ could have made more money by waiting.
Right.
As long as he doesn't have a catastrophic injury, he would have made much more money. When you see these other contracts, whenever Lamb signs, whenever Jefferson signs Ayuk, AJ's gonna look like a bargain. When that happens, I don't get these owners, Damo. And Jerry likes making money. You would think you'd like to save money. I don't get why they don't pick up on that.
Jerry's looking for the perfect quarterback. He's looking for the Roger Staubach to show up again. You know, he likes Dak Prescott, but he doesn't know whether this guy is ever going to get him to a Super Bowl before he dies. And I guess that's why they play this little game, and he doesn't extend them early.
I will say the one thing I'm concerned about from a Cowboys perspective, and you brought him up, Xander, was Micah Parsons, because Mike Zimmer's the defensive coordinator. Now, Mike's been gone for a while. I think at the end, he was a very good defensive coordinator for a lot of years. And we know how this league works. People started figuring out his A-gap stuff. A bunch of people copied it. Too many people are using it. They figured out how to deal with it. Now it's gone away. And nobody does it anymore. Not nobody, but not nearly as much as it was. And if he's got Micah Parsons in those A-gaps and he's going to bring that back, everything's cyclical. He could be a monster, in that defense. He already is a monster, but even more so, that concerns me a little bit because people forgotten Mike.
We're against the Eagles. I mean, a new center. A new starting right guard. I mean, Micah Parsons is going to spend a lot of time in the A-gap against them.
Yeah, I just scared myself, Dama. It's like, because he was like Vic at one point. He was like one of those guys. Everybody was copying him. Now we're at that point with Vic, I think, where too many people have copied him. Now everybody's used to it. And he's got to evolve a little bit and do some different things. We'll see how that shakes out. But, yeah, I was impressed by Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Straight shooter, man. We talked about it a little bit last week, but I do think the Eagles' defense is going to improve just because of his presence. The question is how much. And the biggest concern for me, Damo, is the communication on the back end and all the young cornerbacks, because they want Mitchell on the field and they want DeJean on the field. Yeah. Hopefully they're smart, high IQ players, because there's a lot of communication in that defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll find out soon enough. The one thing about Vic, too, you look at his history, he's always had some, not always, but for the most part, he's had strong linebacking cores. You know, there's been questions about this group.
Yeah, he doesn't have it now, so he's going to have to overcome it.
Right, but I think he might be able to get more out of them than people expect.
Damo, I asked John this in the opening segment. Randy Mueller, former NFL GM, was the latest to do it. Linked maybe the Eagles going after somebody like a Justin Simmons. I don't love adding another body when you have all these young guys, but from the communication perspective, from the complexities of Vic's defense, does a guy like that make sense? You know, you got Quinion, you got Cooper, you got a lot of young guys. Maybe a guy like that who can be the voice on defense would help. You like a move like that, or would you rather go younger?
No, I mean, he's still got a couple of years left in him. His knowledge of Vic's system obviously is unquestioned. Vic likes him. I mean, I can't find too many negatives for, you know, he's not going to cost you an arm and a leg anymore because he's still available at this point. So I'd be, you know, I'd be extremely happy to, if I were an Eagles fan, to see them go after Justin Simmons.
At P Jumbo, make sure you follow a Paul on X, Twitter, 33rd Team as well, contributor there, WBCB Sports as well, co-host during the season on their Monday kickoff show, and author, and we're all waiting for Sam Mills and that book. Very looking forward to that down the road. I guess I'll end it here with the aspect of what Xander was talking about and Justin Simmons and the calendar. Damo, you've been covering this league for a long time. He's a good player, 4-time All-Pro player, 30 interceptions in an era nobody gets interceptions. Why the hell is he still out there?
That's a good question. We don't know his medical situation. Is there something there that people know about that we don't? I don't know. It is a little bit of a mystery. And I guess the answer will come out eventually. But is he asking for too much money? I don't know. But I still, you know, unless there's some injury that we don't know about, he can still play at a high level. And he's not going to need much time to be integrated into the system, obviously, because of his knowledge of it.
Yeah, and him and Vic Fangio both have spoken about each other with very high regard both ways. I mean, Justin has praised Vic. Vic has praised Justin. So if I'm Vic, it sounds like Vic would like him. Maybe Howie wouldn't like him, or he's getting overruled. But I do think it would be a good fit, and I like the mature, you know, a guy that's been in the league for a long time that understands Vic's defense. I like that element of it, especially when you got all these young rookies and younger guys on defense.
You know, it's very possible, although it's hard to keep a secret these days, but that, you know, Vic told him just sit tight. You know, maybe the guy doesn't want to spend, you know, his spring in Philadelphia.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, maybe he just doesn't want to go through that bullshit.
Yeah, there's no training camp. Call me on, like, August 30th.
Maybe Steve Nelson. Steve Nelson showed up that year that Steve was a starter. I think he showed up 2 days before camp. He signed. He took the first rep. We were talking about it all offseason. Who's going to start at the other cornerbacks? But are they really going to start Zach McPherson, a fourth-round rookie? No. Steve Nelson showed up, and he took the first rep after being there for 2 days and never left the field, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Some of these guys. And I don't blame them. Why would you want to run around in shorts and, yeah.
Yeah, especially when you've been doing it for 10 years and you've proven your abilities. Dama, before we let you go, any record prediction? I'm not going to put you on the spot for a win-loss, but give me a range. How many games are the Eagles going to win this year?
Like I said earlier, Xander, I think they're looking at an 11 or 12 win season, depending on whether they sweep Washington and the Giants. I'll go with 12 and 5 right now.
I had them at 11 and 6, Dama, but – I had them at 6-6 and winning the final five. If they're 6-6, the sky's going to be falling.
I know. I said that because that's, I mean,
I got them running the table.
Are we even going to make it through the end of the year if they're 6-6? Is Nick Sirianni going to be here for the end of the year if we're 6-6?
You know what happened? Domo knows it happened twice in Doug. They look dead and then they make the late season run. And it happened once with Nick in his rookie year. They made that late season run.
Yeah.
They're going to do it again. 6-6. Everyone's going to say it's over. And then bang, they're in the playoffs.
The 2023 Eagles did not get the late season run memo, apparently.
No, they did not.
No, they got the opposite. But Damo, thanks for joining the show, man. We'll talk to you next week. All right.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Damo.
Paul Domowitz joining the show. Always great Hall of Fame selector. Does great work and always has covering
the Eagles for a long time. Justin Simmons. Maybe he doesn't want to do the off-season stuff.
Okay,
I will say this, though, because I was looking at it, too, before we hit the break, and Denver already gave away his number to a fifth-round pick, and there's some question marks there. It's like, what's going on? Because nobody knows him better than Denver.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder what it could be. I mean, I think he's a competent player, and he seems, on the front end, he seems like a stand-up guy. He almost seems like a guy that would be a red star type player for the Eagles. But there must be something more to it. You're right. And Denver is giving his number away to a fifth-round rookie. They're obviously not bringing him back in. We'll hit a commercial timeout. I got some offensive questions for Johnny Mack. We've been talking a lot about the defense. Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on the offense this year going into the season. There's a lot of pressure on Kellen. There's a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts, the quarterback at the end of the Eagles. So we'll talk about that coming up next on Birds 365. I want to thank everybody real quick for tuning into the show. Ty, James, Time Lord. We appreciate all you guys in the chat. Anybody I miss, Rolando. Make sure you guys drop us a like. We appreciate it. And we'll be right back on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.